The last time that we were in the book of Acts, Luke told us about Paul's conversion. He told us how Paul was surrounded by a bright light on his way to Damascus. He told us how he heard the voice of Jesus speaking, telling him to go into the city. He told us how he was blinded for 3 days, and how after those 3 days, Ananias came to him, laid his hands on him, and he regained his sight, not only physically, but also spiritually. And in our reading for tonight, we see the results of that conversion. Because in the first section of our reading, we meet Paul telling everyone in Damascus about Jesus. He's going all throughout the city proclaiming his name. He's not trying to hide, hoping to avoid attention. He's not trying to hold back and stay quiet, hoping to not bother anyone. Now that he believes in Jesus, he speaks of him boldly to all. As Paul would later say in his letter to the Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And in this way, Christians, Paul shows us what it means for us to be a Christian. And the first thing that it means for us to be a Christian is that we are bold for Jesus. To put it a different way, we are not afraid to say that we are Christians. Now, God is not requiring us to go from door to door telling people about Jesus, although that would certainly be a good thing. Rather, what we're talking about here is not shrinking back or trying to hide if someone asks if we belong to Jesus. That we are willing to say that we are a Christian even when it is awkward or offensive to do so. Christians, we should not be ashamed of being Christians. We should not be ashamed of Jesus, but willingly bear witness to him to all around us, so that by the grace of God, they too may be saved. In the second section of our reading, Paul is receiving death threats. The Jews are seeking to kill him. Paul has become so bold and outspoken about Jesus that they now see him as a threat. In a bit of irony, the one who persecuted the church now becomes the target of what he used to do. But even though they were trying to kill him, God delivered him out of their hands, allowing him to escape out of the city through a hole in the wall and being lowered down by a basket, so that he is able to get away by the grace of God. The second section also teaches us what it means to be a Christian, that we will receive the hostility of this world. It should never surprise us, Christians, when the world attacks us. Jesus even said that it was going to happen. He says in John chapter 15, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." If the world loves you, Christians, it's because you belong to the world. But if the world hates you, it shows that you belong to Christ. So Paul's suffering, therefore, shows that he now belongs to Jesus. And when we suffer as Christians, we can also see that we belong to him. In the third section of our reading, Paul comes to Jerusalem, and he tries to join the disciples there. But the disciples are hesitant, and understandably so. They're wondering, what if this is some kind of trick? What if he's just trying to deceive us, to catch us off guard, and to take us all away to prison? They're not really quite sure what to do with him. But Barnabas shows them the truth. Barnabas tells them everything that has happened to Paul. He tells them of his conversion on the road to Damascus. He tells them what he had done in Damascus. And they even see all of these things happening firsthand. Paul is doing the very same thing in Jerusalem that he did in Damascus, so that even the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, are seeking to kill him. So seeing all of this then, the brothers receive him as one of their own. The one who had once persecuted them is now welcomed into the church with open arms. But this, too, Christians, shows us what it means to be a Christian. And it's one point that I want to focus on more than the others tonight. Because a Christian, as Paul shows us, wants to be with other Christians. A Christian wants to be a part of a church. Not just the universal church, the believers all throughout the world, although that's important too, but also a local church. To physically meet with one another and to be with our fellow believers in the Lord. Because as Paul shows us, God has made us to be one body. God has created us so that we need one another. We need to be with one another. And the reason why we gather together here in church is not just to worship the Lord, although that is also important, but also to strengthen one another in faith. Because even Paul, as great a man as he was, as important as he was in God's plan, desired to be with ordinary Christians, even seeking them out as soon as he came to Jerusalem. To put it very simply, Christians go to church. But I know that there's a surprising number of people who might push back against this and say that, well, we don't really need to go to church. Physically gathering together is something optional, something that we can just do whenever we feel like it. I mean, some on the one hand might say, well, I can just watch church at home. I can turn on the TV, turn on the computer, start up the phone, whatever it may be, start up the live stream, watch that, and I can say I went to church. That's good enough. And Christians, well, those things can be a blessing, and I don't want to give you a misunderstanding here. They can be a blessing, especially for those who are unable to come to church. And it can also be very good for spreading the word of God even further than we have before. These things can indeed be a blessing. But they can't replace being with one another. A picture is not the same as actually having somebody with you. And a video stream, no matter how good and how clear it may be, can't replace seeing someone face to face. And we recognize that this is true for family. We know that there is something missing if we're just talking to family members through a screen. Yes, it's helpful, but it's just not the same. And if it's true for family, it's also true for the church. God calls for us to be physically together. Now, another reason why some people might push back against this is because they say, well, there's a lot of churches out there that are not preaching the truth. So many churches have been compromised. So many churches are teaching lies in the name of God, and I don't want to be attached to that. I don't want to compromise my faith by going there. I want to hold on to the truth. And Christians, I can't deny that there are many churches that are corrupted. It's an unfortunate fact. Many have turned away from God's word. And I can't deny that it is good to separate from error. We should not put ourselves in a spot where we're going to corrupt our soul. It's deadly. We should avoid that. But we also have to remember that many does not mean all. Just because many churches have been corrupted does not mean that every church has been corrupted. Just because so many have turned away from God's word doesn't mean that there are no faithful churches left. God, after all, has promised that the gates of hell will not overcome his church. He has promised that there will always be 7,000 faithful left to him in Israel. And so he wants us to seek out these faithful churches. He wants for us to join with our fellow Christians and to be together with them according to his holy will. Because unfortunately, Christians, what so often keeps us at home is pride. The church doesn't live up to my standard. It doesn't live up to my expectations, and so I say, well, that must mean there's nowhere I can go. We have to be careful so that we don't confuse our own ideas with what it means to be a faithful church. If we have no desire at all to be with our faithful to be with other Christians, that's a spiritual problem, not a sign of our spiritual superiority. So if there are no faithful churches nearby, again, assuming that there are genuinely none, then maybe what God is calling us to do is travel further, to take the time to really spend time going to this faithful church, wherever it may be, and to be joined together with them. And if that's not even possible, although that's very difficult to imagine, well, then maybe it's time just to proclaim the gospel all the more, to speak to our friends and neighbors about what the Lord has done for us, and to seek out those that he is calling to himself, to gather them together here in this place, because God has never meant for us to be alone. We are not created to be all by ourselves. But Pastor, you say, what does this have to do with us? After all, we gathered here this evening. We have come to worship tonight, and we're part of this church too. So why do we need to hear this? Christians, we all need to hear this, you and I included, so that we don't fall into a similar trap. We don't want to fall into the trap of thinking that being a part of a church is just having your name on a list somewhere. And as long as you have your name on that list, that's good enough, even if you don't actually feel a need to be here. We have to guard against pride, even as we gather together. Because God is not just calling for us to be part of a church in a very abstract sense, Christians. God calls for us to be a part of this church. And God is not just saying that we need to be with other Christians. He's saying that we are joined together with these Christians. That you are members of one another in this very room. That you are called to be together here as much as anything else. Because if we can't care about the Christians that we see, we're never going to care about the Christians that we do not see. Because Jesus has called you together to be one body in this place and to care for one another, just as he first cares for you. So Christians, let us not forsake gathering together. Let us continually meet together here in this place. Because as Paul shows us, Jesus has given us himself to make us one. Jesus has joined us to himself and also to one another, so that here in this place, we may join together with one voice in worshiping him and care for one another, both now and forever. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has joined us into one body in your Son, help us to walk together in love in this place, just as you first loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.